Good morning. I went to the dentist. I finally went to the dentist. I don't know if this has been a part of your experience. I'm pretty good at going to the dentist. I go every 6 months, get my teeth cleaned and tend to things. But during this COVID pandemic, I put that off. I just didn't feel comfortable going to the dentist. I don't know if that was a good decision or a necessary decision, but it's the decision I made. So I probably missed at least two cleanings, maybe three. So I finally got on the phone, I made my appointment with the dentist, and got my teeth cleaned. A little challenging work to get it done. It had been such an amount of time. And I've been getting some other dental work done as well. But I'll tell you, you know, I was scheduled the teeth cleaning, and I did what I do all the time when I go to the dentist. I was out and about, had to get to the dentist office for my appointment, but first, I had to go home to brush my teeth. I don't know why I do this. I don't know if anyone else does this, but I feel this need to go brush my teeth before I go to the dentist to get my teeth cleaned. I want to make sure that, you know, my teeth are as clean as they can be, make sure there's nothing stuck between my teeth, and also, you know, kind of refresh my breath a little bit, you know, be a little less refreshed if I didn't brush my teeth. I have this need to kind of do all that, as if, you know, go to the dentist and sort of, you know, want to see my teeth, you know. Why do I share that story? I'm reminded of it when I look at this gospel reading today. It's the story of this man who's described at the end as a rich man who encounters Jesus, and it says he walks away from Jesus grieving. I said to myself, as I began to engage with these readings, I begin on Mondays to look over the readings that I'll be preaching on, and you know, I said to myself initially, why is this story even in Mark's gospel? Why does Mark feel a need to tell this story? You know, the church has been developing, the early Christian community is forming. Mark, the author of this gospel, is part of a community, and he's writing a story, writing a gospel for that community. Why does he include this story about a man who walked away? Wouldn't you want to tell more of those stories about people who encountered Jesus, lives were transformed, and they began to follow Jesus? And we're familiar with those stories in the Gospels. You know, stories where people are seeking healing or wholeness. You know, you could just pick any of the story of the father, the dad, whose daughter is dying, and he says to Jesus, can you heal her? The lepers who come to Jesus. The woman who's been bleeding for years and just touches the hem of his garment. The folks sitting by the side of the road that everyone ignores, whose lives are transformed by this healing presence of Jesus. Why can't we tell more of those stories? What's with this story of this man walking away? What's incredible about those stories of folks who follow Jesus, even his apostles. He calls forth who are fishermen. You know, leave what you're doing and come follow me. He calls a tax collector to leave what he's doing and come follow me. All of those who Jesus reached out to in many ways were on sort of the periphery of the religious culture of that time. Many of the folks, particularly those who with illnesses or impoverished or struggling in their lives, were seen almost as being punished by God. They must have done something that made God do that to them. That was part of the religious culture, to see these folks on the edges. And Jesus, in calling those people and healing those people, flips everything. He flips that religious cultural perspective of these people. Jesus is starting this movement with folks who are considered outcasts of the society, and he's forming and shaping them to be part of this journey of walking with Christ. So he flips the religious culture of his time. I'd like to hear more of those stories. Their gospels are filled with them. But today we hear a story that Mark tells. When I first encountered it, saying to myself, why is it here? It's the story of a man who's described as being rich, who comes to Jesus. And just parenthetically remember that in the culture, the religious culture of that time, this rich man would have been seen as being blessed by God. If you had these riches and this wealth, you must have been blessed by God. The religious culture saw it that way, and that's how you would be perceived. So you can imagine this rich man coming to Jesus. Those around would say, oh, here's a holy man. Comes to Jesus and says, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And it's interesting how Jesus responds. He starts telling him to follow the commandments, but he doesn't quote all 10 commandments. He quotes the commandments that are oftentimes referred to as the commandments that have to do with how we interact with each other in this world. The 10 commandments, some folks use this kind of description of, there's some commandments that have to do with our relationship to God. Keep holy the Sabbath. Only one God. No gods other than our God. Jesus doesn't quote those commandments. He quotes the commandments that have to do with don't steal, honor your father and mother. He throws one in there, do not defraud. That's interesting. That's not even one of the commandments, but it's as if Jesus just slips one in there as it's been referred to as the second from the last. You know, whenever we talk to somebody, we have something significant to say. Oftentimes, psychologically, I don't know why we do this, it's the second from the last thing we say. We kind of, okay, I finally got to it, and then I'll say something else. Jesus throws that in there, do not defraud. But all those commandments are about how we interact with each other. And Jesus says, do those things. And his response is, I'm paraphrasing, his response is, I've been doing that since I was a kid. Says he, yeah, I've been doing that since my youth. I've been doing that since I was a kid. Want to see my teeth? I've done all the right things. I've done all that. And Jesus says, there's one more thing. Sell what you have and give to the poor. Not only would that man have heard that as a shocking kind of challenge, but even the folks gathered around would have heard that as something shocking. This man is blessed by God. He has these riches. And yet this Jesus is saying, sell it. Give it away. And grow ever deeper in what you've been doing since your youth. Make a difference in those with whom you live your life, those who are part of your world, those who are part of this community of faith. Sell what you have. Those gifts, even if Jesus accepted that religious culture at that time, as these gifts are from God, Jesus in many ways is saying to this man, and they don't belong to you. You're called to share those gifts and continue to grow and mature in this relationship that we have as community. And it says, the man walked away grieving. Couldn't take that step. As Jesus was flipping the religious culture of his time by gathering together a community of outcasts and people who lived on the edges and periphery, Jesus also flipped the religious culture of his time by saying to this man of wealth, give it away. See those blessings to be given away. And that was another flipping of that religious culture. So what can this gospel say to us here at St. Paul's? What can it say to our lives? I've been thinking about that. I think there's a little bit of each of us in those two areas. We are people who seek wholeness, healing, meaning in our lives. We seek meaning in our society, in our world, our culture, our community. We seek that. And we know that's not a weakness, but it's a source of engagement with Jesus. But you know, we're also, in many ways, blessed by God with wealth and resources. We live in probably the wealthiest nation in the world. And no matter where we are, we've been blessed. And we're challenged and invited to realize that those blessings are from God and meant to be shared, meant to be given, meant to be part of our engagement with this community that we are a part of and this community sent forth to make a difference. We're a little of each of those. And we need each other as we walk this journey together. We come here to be fed and nourished. We worship together. We're fed at the table. We're fed through the word and sacraments. We're sent forth at the end of the liturgy by the deacon who says, go forth into the world to serve this world. And in all of that, we grow together. We experience new meaning and new depth in our lives. We are invited today, through this gospel reading, to reflect on the blessings we have and how we can make a difference, how we can engage. Let us not walk away from that invitation grieving, but let us walk into that invitation, even if it's step by step by step, in joy with the abundance that we've been blessed with, and our call and our challenge to engage with each other as those commandments invite us to engage with each other and make a difference in our community here at St. Paul's and in the ministries that we are about that make a difference in this world. Let's go forth this day hearing that invitation and accepting it with great joy.